Well, good morning, VRVC. I want to say to you that if you started this climb with us through Romans back in January, I know it feels like a lifetime ago now, but if you started the journey with us and you've been climbing with us, right about now, you ought to be able to feel the wind whistling through your hair. Lift up your eyes. The summit is in view. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to have God's grace in action, what it means to serve God. And so we've been talking about serving our nation. We've been focused on serving our neighbors. We've been focused on serving the weak. And today we want to talk about serving the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean, serving the kingdom? That title sounds a little nebulous, doesn't it? It sounds a little mystical. And in fact, in the passage that Jim just read to us, the phrase kingdom of God is not used. But I believe the concept of the kingdom of God is embedded in every verse he read to us. And so we want to talk about serving the kingdom of God, but maybe we need to back up for a moment and just ask the question, what is the kingdom of God? If you were with us last fall, we actually threw this little definition out there to get us thinking about what God's kingdom is all about. We said that the kingdom of God is God's reign or rule through God's people, you and me, for God's glory. God's reign through God's people for God's glory. That's what Jesus came to announce. He came to preach that God is in charge and that God is working through his people and that when the story is finally told, God will be victorious. Makes me think of that memorable phrase in C.S. Lewis's book, series of books, The Chronicles of Narnia. And if you've read them, or even just the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you likely remember the most important character, and that character is Aslan. Aslan is this great talking lion. He happens to be the rightful king of the land of Narnia. He's clearly a Christ figure in the story. But unfortunately, Narnia has been taken over by this evil white witch, and she's turned the whole land into perpetual winter. But guess what? Aslan is the rightful king of Narnia, and he's about to do something about it. And maybe you remember in my book, it's around page 64, when this beaver approaches the four children who have kind of escaped through the wardrobe into Narnia. And he says these words. He says, "They say Aslan is on the move, perhaps already landed." It was the first time these four children had ever heard the name Aslan. And he says, at the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside. Edmund felt mysterious horror. Peter felt brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if a delicious smell or strain of music had floated by her. And Lucy felt like you feel when you're just waking up in the morning and it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of summer. I love that. Life felt gloomy, but at the name of Aslan, something jumped inside each of them. They say that Aslan is on the move. You might say that for the kingdom of God, it is like saying that Jesus is on the move. Yes, the world may feel frozen. Yes, it may feel like always winter and never Christmas, but in the kingdom of God, Jesus is on the move. Jesus is working behind the scenes in the hearts of his people to further the gospel, to further God's glory. And so as I read the second half of Romans chapter 15, it seems to me that Paul wants his readers to know the King Jesus is moving. And he wants us to be moving along with King Jesus to serve in the kingdom of Jesus. And so the question we want to try to answer is, how do we serve the kingdom of God? How can you and I, even in the midst of this strange season of our lives, join Jesus in his work to redeem the world? Well, that's what Paul wants to teach us. Now, I realize it can be pretty intimidating for us to benchmark ourselves against the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a world-class missionary, after all. You don't want to compare your paintings with Picasso, and you probably don't want to compare your religious resume with Paul's, or at least I don't. But guess what? Paul wouldn't want us to focus on him in the first place. He would want us to lean into Jesus. In fact, verse 17, Paul definitively states, he says, "Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God." If we make it about Paul, we can all say, well, look, I'm not Paul, okay? But if we make it about Jesus, and if Jesus lives in our hearts through faith, and if Jesus is on the move, and if Jesus is inviting us to join his kingdom, then guess what? You can play along, and I can play along. And so, in the remainder of our time, I want to talk about four simple ways. Yes, I usually have 3 points for you, sometimes two. Today, 4 very simple ways that you and I can participate in the kingdom of God, that you and I can serve the kingdom of God. How do we serve the kingdom? First way is we celebrate it. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is on the move. These verses, to me, give off this strong fragrance of joy. I almost feel like Paul is looking back over his recent ministry, and he just has this kind of astonished joy of all that God has been doing through him. Whether it's causing the Gentiles to come to obedience of faith, whether it's all these miraculous signs and wonders that Paul got to experience, or whether it was the fact that Paul had traveled roughly 1,400 miles from Jerusalem in the Middle East to Illyricum, modern-day Albania, planting churches, watching the gospel grow. Paul looks back on it all with astonished joy. And Paul is not celebrating himself. He's not saying, hey, look what I did here. Look what I did there. No, he says in verse 18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Friends, this is a very important way you and I participate as servants in the kingdom of God. We pay attention to what Christ is accomplishing. We notice signs of the holy all around us. And then guess what? We clap our hands and we say, way to go, God. We praise you, God. God, you're amazing. It's very simple, but very important. We celebrate what God's doing. Look, if for any reason you wanted to jump out of the kingdom of God, why would you ever want to do that? But if you don't wanted to jump out of the kingdom of God, then a good way to do it would be to start taking credit yourself for all the things that God is doing through you. But Paul refused to do that. Instead, he couldn't stop talking about what, in Paul's words, Christ has accomplished through me. He couldn't stop talking about what he says in verse 19, the power of the Spirit of God. You know, one of our values at VRBC is we want to be storytellers. We want to share cool stories. We want to share testimonies about what God is doing. And when we do that, whenever we share those stories and give credit to God, we're participating in the kingdom. And I just want you to know, I've been so encouraged by hearing your stories, watching videos, seeing the creative ways you're serving children, you're serving students, you're serving your neighbors in a challenging season. And maybe right now you're thinking of some cool God story, something that God engineered in a way only God could do so. Why don't right now in your heart just say thanks to God? When you do, you participate in the kingdom. We celebrate the kingdom. But there's a second way that we participate in the kingdom of God, and it's crucial as well. And that is we dream it. We dream about the kingdom. Paul was a dreamer. How does that word strike you? I don't know about you. It's a little intimidating to me when I think about some of Paul's dreams that are recorded in Scripture. Paul actually had a dream one time when he was living in Asia that a guy in Europe, Macedonia to be exact, was interrupting Paul's dream and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We need your help. And that's very intimidating to me because nothing like that has ever happened to me. But still, I think there's something in verse 20, there's this key word that you and I can latch onto. And I'll read the verse and we'll talk about the word. We've underlined it for you. It has always been my ambition. There's the word. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Key word is ambition. God gave Paul this ambition, this desire, this calling, this dream to participate in the kingdom in a unique way. Now for Paul, Paul's ambition was to be a church planter in pioneer areas. Paul didn't feel like it was his calling to build second floors, so to speak, on existing first floors. No, Paul felt like God's primary calling on his life was to build on just flat dirt, was to build brand new churches, so to speak. I don't mean the building, of course, but to plant brand new churches in places where the gospel had never been preached. Paul was animated by that dream, and that dream and the fulfillment of it gave him great joy. And so in our passage, Paul is planning to come to an established church, the church in Rome, and experience great fellowship, but his dream is another pioneer area. His dream is about going to Spain. Now, I want to ask you, have you given yourself permission to dream about how God wants you involved in his kingdom? I mean, God is calling you to participate in his glorious kingdom as well. Can you believe it? And so this is a time for holy dreaming. Now, for you, it's probably going to be different than Paul. Maybe similar, probably different. Maybe God has given you certain gifts, and you're dreaming about how you might use those gifts. Maybe it's through ministering to a certain population or demographic. Maybe God's given you a heart for mentoring children or students. Maybe it's through administration. Maybe it's through hands-on serving. Maybe it's through physical building. Maybe it's through writing. Maybe it's through singing. Maybe it's through being creative. Who knows? But if you haven't already done so, I want you to feel the Holy Spirit giving you permission to dream. I mean, what is your calling? What is your ambition? What is your deepest prayer for the way God might work through you? And by the way, maybe just to spur your thoughts here, you might want to, just in this season, you might want to log on to our church's website, vrbc.net, look for the Serve tab, and just scroll through there. There's so many ways, even in a season of social distancing, where you and I might further Christ's love in small but significant ways. And so, we celebrate, right? We dream, very important. But there's a third way, right? How do we serve the kingdom of God? A third way is we do it. We do it. Yeah, Paul's a dreamer. Paul has his heart set on Rome and then Spain. But there were certain things in Paul's path as he was writing this letter that had to be done first. And I would say to you that the kingdom of God is not only about dreaming what God might do through us tomorrow, it's also doing what God has put in our path today. And so for Paul, as verse 25 points out, he was in the middle of a current job that the Lord had given him. You see, Paul had heard about a famine that was going on back in Jerusalem that was impacting the mother church, the first church of the Christian movement. And so Paul says in verse 25, now, however, today, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. I love this. Paul was actually on a journey, get this, to deliver this massive benevolence offering that he'd collected and to deliver it to the hungry Jewish Christians back in Jerusalem. And he'd been taking up this collection. He'd been to churches in Macedonia and Achaia and in modern-day Greece. And there's this beautiful symmetry that Paul points out in verse 27. He says, in the same way that originally spiritual blessings of the gospel flowed out of the mother church into all of, you know, Asia and Europe, guess what? Now, material blessings, offerings that have been taken up in these Greek and Asian areas are now flowing back into Jerusalem. Because guess what? Paul says, you know, we're all part of the same spiritual family. Doesn't matter if you grew up Jewish. Doesn't matter if you grew up Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a charter member. Doesn't matter if you just joined the church back at Christmas, right? Families serve one another. In Christ, we are family. And serving those who struggle is a key component of the kingdom of God. Paul says to the Roman Christians, I can't come to see you. I can't get to Spain until I first do what God has put on my path today. Friends, I want you to know, when I see what's happening, the kingdom stuff that's happening at VRBC right now, I just want you to know, I'm super encouraged. I mean, in a time of job loss and financial hardship, guess what? Our benevolence fund is as strong as it has ever been. And I love the fact that signs are going up in yards all over our community that you're collecting food for a strapped food bank like MetroCrest. Look, the kingdom of God is constantly focused on the practical things that God is calling on us to do today to serve others. In fact, I didn't have a chance to read it to you. We didn't read it to you, but take a chance sometime today just to scroll through Romans chapter 16, the last chapter of the book of Romans. I mean, I love Romans 16, and there's a lot of names that are hard to pronounce, but I just feel like in Romans 16, Paul is just kind of walking around, pointing at people in the fellowship hall, and like a good leader, he's thanking them for their contribution. He starts off with this woman named Phoebe. She was a deacon. A lot of scholars believe she actually brought the letter to the Romans. She actually brought it and maybe read it for the first time to the church at Rome. Paul thanks people like Mary in verse 8 for working very hard. He thanks Rufus and Rufus' mom. He thanks these sisters in verse 13, Tryphena and Tryphosa, if you're expecting twin girls. He thanks them for their hard work in the Lord. Paul is just walking around and saying, thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your risk. Thank you for hosting small groups in your home. Thank you for your kingdom work, all these practical deeds to serve the kingdom. You know, my mom had this Italian phrase she used to use sometimes when we were cleaning up after dinner. And I don't speak Italian. I've researched it. But I think the phrase was this, ha fatta la mossa, ha fatta la mossa. Now, she used to say it whenever some family members were doing the hard work of wiping down tables and scraping pasta sauce from the pans. But then, let's just say little Larry was kind of slow playing cleanup. And he maybe was slowly walking over to the table and picking up a napkin, and then slowly walking it over to the trash can, and then slowly walking back to the table and picking up another napkin. Why pick up all six at one time when you can do them one at a time? And she would look over at me and she would say, "Ha fatta la mossa." And I would say, "Mom, what does that mean?" And she says, "It means he makes a show. He makes a show of pretending like he's really doing the work, but he's obviously not." Now, friends, wouldn't you hate it for Italian Jesus to say, "Ha fatta la mossa," about VRBC? Wouldn't you hate it for Jesus to say about our church, "Well, they make a show. Right? He makes a show, she makes a show, but they're not really serious about kingdom work." The Spirit of God wants kingdom workers. Not making a show, not little Larry with the napkin. No, but really diving in and doing what God has called us to do. And so maybe right now, God is putting on your mind someone who needs you to serve them, right? And sometimes we don't have to look very far. And maybe for you right now, God's already prompted you, and it's simply a matter of just doing it. Because like Aslan, Jesus is on the move. And there's so many things for us to celebrate, so many things for us to do. But friends, I don't want you to miss this last part. I mean, not only do we celebrate it, not only do we dream it, not only do we do it, but this fourth part is so important as well. And that is, how do we serve the kingdom of God? We pray it. We pray the kingdom. We pray thy kingdom come. Now, we've already established Paul was a doer. Paul was an activist. Paul kept busy. Paul was one of these pastors that intimidate me because he was actually bivocational. He had two jobs in a sense. He worked making tents to kind of make money, and that helped to finance his role as a missionary and a church planner. And I know many of you are activists too. You're busy, you're worker bees, you're doers. And as I've already said, that's awesome, right? We need more of you. But while we're working hard, we need to remember as Christians that in many ways, the most important work we do is done on our knees. It's done in prayer. And so verse 30, Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." Literally, Paul urges his friends in Christ, those who've been motivated by the Holy Spirit and love, to literally fight along with him in prayer, to fight in prayer, to wrestle in prayer. Maybe Paul's remembering Old Testament Jacob, who wrestled with God in prayer. Maybe Paul's reflecting back on his teaching in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the powers and principalities of this present darkness. We wrestle with evil. Maybe Paul's simply reflecting on the fact that sometimes it's easier to sleep than to pray, as Jesus discovered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And consistent intercessory prayer is demanding. You know, I mentioned my mom a few moments ago. One of the things that has really humbled me recently is the privilege I've had of reading through text after text, email after email, card and after card, about how many of you have been praying for my family and me. I just feel so privileged that so many people have been engaged in this intense ministry of prayer on our behalf. When Paul knew that life is hard, he wisely predicted that he would face enemies in Jerusalem. And so Paul sought prayer. In verse 31, he sought prayer for God's protection. In verse 32, he sought prayer for God's joy. In verse 33, he sought prayer for God's peace. Friends, you and I are called to serve the kingdom because Jesus is on the move. We spend our days praising, thanking. We spend our days dreaming and planning. We spend our days working and serving. And we spend our days praying, knowing that our time on this earth will one day come to a close. And like farmers, we have to make good use of the daylight. But we've got to work while it's daytime. When the great missionary Dr. David Livingstone showed up as a volunteer at the London Missionary Society, somebody asked him, well, what country would you like to go to? Have you thought about it? And when they said, where do you want to go? His response was, anywhere, so long as it's forward. I love that. I'll go anywhere, as long as I'm advancing in God's kingdom. Look, friends, I know this is a challenging season. Maybe some of us feel like we're moving backwards, or at the very least, we're stalled out. But as we come to the end of this great letter of Romans, right, let's move forward. Let's move forward in the grace that Paul has so beautifully written about in his letter to the Romans. Let's move forward in praise. Let's move forward in a time of ambitious dreaming. Let's move forward in a time of active working. Let's move forward on our knees in constant prayer because Jesus is on the move. Kevin Miller tells a story about a guy who was on a flight and he thought to himself, you know what? This is the most attentive, responsive flight crew I have ever worked with. And so toward the end of the flight, he stopped one of the flight attendants and he said, look, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but I just have to say, I fly a lot, okay? And I've never seen a flight crew like you guys. You're the most attentive, polite, engaged, service-oriented flight attendants that I've ever seen. And he said the flight attendant smiled back at him and said, well, for that, you can thank the lady in 12B. He's like, 12B? And she said, yeah, she's our supervisor. She inspects all the flight crews, and she's actually on our flight today. Look, I don't need to remind you, do I, that Jesus is on our flight today. Jesus is on the move with us. So let's join him, won't we? Let's join Christ in his kingdom anywhere, so long as it's forward. Let's pray. Lord, I love your church. I love the privilege of doing life with your people. Lord, I love the fact that they are a thankful people. Increase our praise. Lord, I love the fact that they are a creative and ambitious people. Lord, fill us with new dreams of your plans for each one of us and your plans for our church. Lord, I love the fact that they are an active people. Lord, fill us with new energy and show us what you've placed before us to do right now, today, to be obedient to your will. And Lord, I love the fact that they are a praying people. But Lord, increase our passion, increase our intensity as we wrestle in prayer, as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in our community, as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.